Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Now, I'd like to kind of put some questions to you or something, trying to figure something out here. You know, I've been to a lot of churches. Usually it's Assembly of God or some, you know, offshoot of that, independent or non-denominational, but they're still Pentecostal enough, but kind of wild out, holier than thou Pentecostal, or none of this holiness type of church, which is basically, heaping weights on people of some holiness code that they don't even know what they're talking about. It's really terrible, you know, when you get to hear some of these people from a holiness type of church that has doctrines of something on this kind of holiness type of stuff, you know. You hear them, and usually it's really hard to get them to talk about anything to compare what their church is about and everything like that. They don't want to give any reference to anything or any relation to any other kind of church. It's usually that it is that, you know, they don't need to deal in that area. Just, you know, the Bible's right and that's it. But they just can't seem to give you any background about where they're coming from so you can kind of get an idea. But you get an idea as you're talking with people from holiness kind of churches that they must be some kind of like culty church, you know. If you're in the Assembly of God or some other kind of church and you start hearing some of these kind of talkings, you know. I've been around in these other kind of churches a lot, so I know how you guys feel when you hear something about a holiness kind of church. Now, holiness sounds really good, you know, God is holy, you know, and all that, and he calls us to have a holy be holy for he is holy and all that kind of stuff. But we don't kind of get carried away into some kind of holiness doctrine of these kind of what we like to call cultic-like Christian churches, because they seem to be off the mainstream and they usually heap in such weights on to the congregation. It's almost like they're entrapped into having to be part of this kind of congregation with great weights on them that I know you know what I'm talking about, but anyway, you know, people, when you are thinking about things, about what is holy, what is not holy, and then you're thinking about gay people, and you're trying to think that, you know, they're living a lifestyle that is certainly not holy to God, and they're living in sin, it's like you say, hey, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so you're sitting there, the temple of God, you know, you're sitting there trying to say that, well, because gays are engaged in same-sex sex, you know, you always like to put it into as though it just, you know, a guy's walking around, and you see the whole bunch of men over there, and he dives in the center of it, and they just have a big old gangbang orgy or something like that. When actually, gay people are like you. What did you do? You know, you're growing up, you know, everybody tells you to get married. So all your really young years, all you think about, you're going to get married and have kids and so forth. And then when you get older, then you find out why. You know, because you get a certain age and all of a sudden you say, you want that opposite sex. And you would do quite a few things to do that. And you will talk about that with your peers and everything. And you would try to figure out how you could do that. You beg to find to be with somebody. And so your body is telling you why that people always say that when you grow up and get older, you'll have a family and babies and all that kind of stuff. So it works out pretty good because then, you know, you that are straight, this happens, you know. If you're gay, when you get to this age and everything, you find a different thing happening. You don't necessarily understand why your peers are going crazy over the opposite sex. But you sure feel something about the same sex. Sometimes you don't know for sure what it is. Because you're in my day, you know, there was no access to anything that's positive towards gays. So what you're doing is trying to figure this whole thing out. You know, everybody kind of says that kind of weird. And so, but today we have plenty of information, and usually everybody knows right away what this thing is. And so the youth is much more accepting of who they are at a very much younger age. But you see, the problem we got today is you don't want to know about gay people. You got your mind made up. You have this kind of idea that it's wrong, it's sin, God hates it, the Bible says so, you don't need to do anything else. And so you would never, ever even think about having a gay person stand up in your church and give a testimony of their life. You, in general, would think that you are turning your back on God or something, not being faithful to God because you're letting Satan into your church. This is so crazy, you know. If you believe so much that gays are gay because of the devil or demons or something like that, then tell me, what is your particular problem? You know, because don't you have the power? I was listening to somebody in Christian chat room. They're saying that it was the demon of cancer. People, cancer is not a demon. Cancers are cells that go wild. It's a medical situation. You can cast demons out all you like, Christian, and they don't come out. Did you know that? Oh, there's a cancer patient. Let me lay hands and cast that demon out. Did you know what you can do? You can lay hands and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. They very well might get healed. It does happen. It's in your faith. If you believe something is connected to Satan, demons or something, we don't have to do like Catholics do, spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours doing some exorcism type of rite. You know, you can turn on the television, click, and go over to the Christian channels, and sometimes you'll run across a program that there's a guy out there. He's talking to the demon, Protestant. He's just having a field day talking to him, and yakking and talking to him, and asking him all kinds of questions. I mean, almost his whole 30-minute program is involved in talking to this demon, and then attempting to cast the demon out. And you know, we have to see this sort of happening. Otherwise, why would he want to air it and talk that long on it? So we do see something that you have to question about, you know, because he looks like he's pretty emotional. You see tears and you see jerkings and all this other kind of stuff going on that you're, hey, this looks like a pretty good picture. That old demon is really fighting and resisting to come out. So here this guy is. This is his whole ministry. Why don't demons listen to him? You know, it's really interesting to me because my experiences with any actual demons was, get out of here in the name of Jesus, and off they go. If I want to see him, I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be visible, and I can see you leaving. And they would visually appear in some kind of a form and shoot out the window and do something that is visible. You don't have to go into long particular prayers. The Bible does say that there is certain demons that need prayer and fasting. It doesn't really give you details how long you should fast in prayer. So I suppose that you would need to do a lot of studying in the Hebrew culture of the days of Jesus and find out just what it was a process, that because, you know, since Jesus said that some had to be prayer and fasting, then we ought to be able to find some books after Jesus died, writings about the process of fasting and prayer. So if you, as a good, wonderful Christian, is concerned about getting demons out of people, then you should know how to get rid of the ones that need fasting and prayer. And it does say, are you fasting and prayer on the fact that you're going to get this demon out of there? Or are you fasting in prayer to sort of kind of build up your intimacy with Jesus, to kind of get that anointed feeling that you feel when you really get to, you know, praising Jesus and calling on his name and talking to him, you know, and bowing down before him? You can bring in the Shekinah glory of God. So is this what it means, fasting and prayer? so you can get a good dose of this kind of thing before you then go out and heal people or lay hands on people? The Bible isn't clear on this area, but you could go and study the after Jesus died literature. Now, I haven't really gone into that because, you know, demons haven't really been too much of an issue with me. I believe that if there was a time that one needed fasting and prayer, then I'd know about it. Jesus would let me know that this particular one needs fasting and prayer. Otherwise, you know, cast them out. I don't know about you, but hey, if there's demons, we're Christians, we could cast them out. But yet, you tell me, so many of you tell me time in and time again, gays got gay demons in them. They got this evil kind of demon. If they did, isn't that an absolutely wonderful opportunity for you to prove it? Come up to the altar, gay person. I bet you got lots and lots and lots of gay. I'll happily come over there. I'll bow down before you and let you do all the casting. I love Jesus. I'm committed to him. I'm not coming up here in some false pretense and everything. I'll let you do your thing. Get the demon out of me if you believe there's a demon in me. I hope you're not too dumb. I'm 58 years old. I've been a Christian for 32 years. I've been in the Assembly of God for 32 years. Been a Pentecostal for 32 years. I've been preaching on TV here for 20 years every week. I know a few things. You know, I got a background. I got a testimony. It's good if you do a little research into somebody's Christian walk to see the story. But this whole thing, what I'm trying to talk about, is you don't want to see the story. You just already have your mind made up. If a gay person happens to tell you something about the blessings of God, answer, prayer, healing, you automatically say Satan did it, or a demon did it, or something. It can't be of God. If a gay person speaks in tongues, you say those are the tongues of Satan. Because you can't possibly accept that they would be speaking in the Holy Spirit. Isn't this kind of amazing? For you, if a gay person has been so often called forth for prophecy, in my case, for instance, you know, first about 12 years or so, it seemed like that didn't matter where I go. There's a camp meeting over there, I'll go there. And that pastor sits there, he starts looking strange. Way back there, I'm way back at the end of the tent in the last row of seats. I'm there sitting there, and he's looking. God wants me to prophesy over you. Could you come up here? When the first thing happened one time, I went to this nice church, the kind that I always like to call it. It's that church on the corner that just loves the Lord. That little church just loves the Lord. And I went to this one church that just loves the Lord. Pentecostal and everything. There's a pastor up there. I got this one on tape. They happened to record their prophecy type of deal. And there's a series of three. And three different people came up to me. And he says, I want you. And he described who I was. God's telling me to do this to you, so come on up. And he goes and gives into a big thing, you know. It's kind of amazing, you know. So far I haven't gotten this, you know, perfect English kind of prophecy coming out. I get visions, I get night visions and so forth and on, and I got a picture I'm trying to interpret, and I got lots of little things, and I get some English every now and then from Jesus about things that are about to happen, and I got this revelation that keeps coming into me, and I see in the picture and everything. I don't hear any voice necessarily in that kind of category as to be able to speak or however it is. You know, I speak in tongues and everything, but English is rare to come out, although I want to know what I'm talking about sometimes, so I say, please, throw in an English word or two so I know what I'm talking about in these tongues. And I would always get these things, almost guaranteed. Every single time I'd get two or three English words here and there in the thing so I know what the subject I'm talking about. Or the Holy Spirit's praying through me anyway. So you have to explain this kind of thing. Why did hundreds and hundreds, I always say 200 pastors at least, but I know it's probably more than that, come up here and I'm going to give word. And they start prophesying over me. And they tell me how much God loves me, how much I love God. There's 1,000 people at least in the congregation. You know, that's kind of funny, isn't it? Absolute gay person. There's this lover sitting there right by him or something. He calls me up there, you know, and he starts telling the whole thing. He is telling everybody there in the congregation, you know, God has told me to speak to this person. And then they rattle on. Wonderful blessing. How much I love God, how much God loves me, the things that God's called me to do, and so forth and so on. They come to pass and all that kind of stuff. Some of the stuff haven't come to pass yet because it's not time. When it comes to pass, people. Anyway, I'll not get into what some of the stuff that God has told me is going to be happening as part of my ministry. But 32 years. I'm walking in Christ Jesus. You don't want to hear? Thousands of answered prayer. Details. I get, you know, God said, you haven't asked. So, herefore, you haven't asked. Now start asking. I'll give it to you. Your God wants you to be detailed, you know. You always say, well, God already knows. So you just kind of say, God, answer this. Help tell. But see, you're important, don't you think? There's two people important to you, you and God. Through Jesus Christ. Your family's important. You love them, your wife, your kids, and all that and everything. You know, when it all gets down to it, it's you and eternal life with Jesus Christ. And you certainly hope and desire that your family and your kids and all that will get there too, and your friends and all that. And so you spend a good deal of your time trying to minister to them so that they can do this. And you're pretty happy when it looks like that they're going to go to heaven too. But it's still going to come down to how you are dealing with your faith. And it's important to you. So you can pray very deep and get yourself in a closet. The closet just simply means there's a private place. Nobody else hears you, so you can scream if you need to. Complain. Whine. Dine. Beg. Plead. Intelligent. Brainy, you know. Come up and say, witty. Joke. Jesus will laugh when you catch him surprised. You don't think you can catch God surprised, but boy, you catch him on a simple little joke, you know. He could roll over in laughter, and boy, you know it, man. Lots of kind of stuff that happens in a gay person's life that knows Jesus. In recent times, I'd ask God, in the name of Jesus, I it's much longer, much detailed. And I say, you know, I kind of like this. I'm not asking for signs and all that kind of stuff. Try to be humble, and, but still, but you know something? You always have these other kind of people. You know, one of the famous testimonies, constant, continual testimonies, is a gay Christian goes in a situation, he's raised up to the top. Or he's always raised up above some of the other people that are there. I get this new job there. And I only get down my 90-day probation period. Just a couple months went by, and I was promoted to manager. I got best employee of the month, got best customer service. Hundreds of employees. How'd that happen? Well, you know, hey, you got to give good customer service if you're going to get the best customer award. I know, you got to do that. And you got to get promoted because you can do the job. So it's not that I couldn't, I'm just asking God magically make me these positions, but it's unusual. Usually people have to be a year before any promotions are done. There are circumstances that can cause quicker promotions. And so I was asking God to make these kind of circumstances happen. Same day I prayed it happened. Over and over and over again. Detail. Gotta get my area all fixed up, you know. I don't know a lot. I got so much to learn. What am I gonna do? Look at these tons of stuff I can't absorb. I'm getting old, you know, and I got aches and pains all over, and I gotta get us a whole God's stuff all in order and everything, and I got all these reports, and oh boy, what would I get myself into becoming manager and everything? You know, so God answers prayer. Things happen. Adjustments are made. People are switched around. Miracles are happening all the time. Don't understand, it just happened. I'm gay, people. I got a gay lover. Been with me almost a couple of decades. What are you going to say, people? It's Satan. I ask God. Within 15 minutes, he gives me the answer. Sometimes a little bit longer, you know, sometimes that day. Sometimes you're actually waiting for the answer on something. Thousands of times. I have 3 major physical healings. Nobody else is around. You can't tell me I'm not a liar. You can't tell me I didn't get healed. I mean, how can you tell me I didn't get healed? I'm standing out there. I'm the one with whatever problem I had, you know, 3 different times. One of them was kind of fun. It was just smog, you know, horrible, terrible. You know, Southern California, where I live, horrible smog pain. I said, I command that smog pain to come out in the name of Jesus. And it lifted out of me. Nearly 30 years ago. Haven't had that kind of pain again. Had food poisoning. Hour from the nearest hospital. Ask Jesus. Heal me. There I saw the Holy Spirit pour out of the north, got directly east of me, came fall down, I got to my head level. Healed. Notice how I'm desperately ill for over a month. Instantly healed. And so, a little interruption there. So, my third healing. Oh, that's all really sick. You know, that's when I get around. It was Christmas Eve night. Finally, at midnight, about 1 hour after, so I think it's 1 a.m., I just stood up. You know, I raised my hands up, and I said, God, in Jesus' name, heal me. And I felt a warm, thick oil came down to my head like this, and it just kind of slowly at a level, it was straight off, cut off, level, just poured down my body like that. When it got down just below my waist, I was healed. Totally. The top part was healed, the bottom part was sick. And when it got done, it was healed. There are some things that are amazing that's happened. I can talk for a very long time on the blessings that God has done for me, being on this television program. It's a piece of cake, isn't it? I'm just a nut guy, justifying my sins, aren't I? Or is it maybe there's more to it than that? Don't you think that the person that's gay, you're talking so blatantly confronting the normal conditions of the church? You know, against gays? In the last days, things too. You got it wrong. You don't think God can get revelation? God can give revelation to gay people. How come you won't invite gay people to come up the altar and give account for their faith in Jesus Christ? Give testimony. You love to hear the testimony of the person sitting beside you. That's straight, you know. Oh, come on, get up. Tell us, what did God do you for today? But will you say, is there any gays up here? Please stand up. And you let them get up without feeling like you're going to cast them out. If they do stand up or start pointing fingers, oh, now I know you're gay, you know, but if you just simply invite them up, have me come preach at your church. I can tell you a lot of things. You want miracles? We can have miracles too. You know, we can have healings. We can have baptism in the Holy Spirit. We can have all kinds of stuff going on. And you can challenge whatever it is you want. You can try whatever it is you believe. You can try to get Satan out of him. You can do all those things. Maybe my turn for me to do these things to you. See if God listens to you or listens to me. Simple as that. I know my walk with Jesus Christ. I know the answer to that question. He'll be with me. He won't be with you during that except to teach you the truth about the gay issue. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And God rose on the third day. Simple prayer, get you saved. Now you just go tell somebody that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you will speak in other tongues. And get ready, people. You're already reading modern versions with the Satan counterfeits. Study what's gotten hard. I know what I mean. There's some great deceptions coming out, and you're not even having a clue what they are. Look at the sky. You'll see chemtrails. See you next week.